Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Folks having technical difficulties on phone and iPad, apparently. Well, tonight, we're already 2 minutes into the fucking podcast, and despite the issues, I was flipping back and forth because a good friend of mine, Mr. Yoga Monster himself, was on AEW Dynamite tonight with his brother Matt Sydal against FTR, and we're going to start off. Safari cannot open the page. Bullshit. We're going to start off by bitching about social media? No. By any means. So, while I get back on the horn here, I'm just going to say, what the hell is going on with my phone? I don't know. But I do know AEW Dynamite results. We're going to just do it from the iPad, I guess. So, winners, grades, reactions. I'll do NXT later. I'm going to do AEW right now. Okay. Serena Deeb versus Young. Oh, wait. Young Bucks take on Santana and Ortiz. Winner's notes on February 17th, 2021. No, I'm not going to go off fours, but I will go off this review. I actually, you know, I'm going to answer a fan's question. He's a buddy of mine. He's also an avid fan of professional wrestling, Chris Coulter in Columbia, Missouri. Let's see. And Matt Hardy and Hangman Page versus TH2 in the NWA World Women's Champion, Serena D versus Rio for the AEW Women's World title. The Young Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz. Was that on Dark? FTR versus Sydal? I guess it was. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. Not for January 27th. I would like to know the live results. Is it going on till 10? Really? Okay, no. I'm going to actually read these results because it says, Eddie Kingston's family faces off against the former rivals in Jon Moxley, Lance Archer, and Rey Fénix. So the Death Triangle completes the trio. So plus Orange Cassidy goes up against Japanese deathmatch legend Luther. Okay, I wonder. Okay, so the first match is Hangman Page and Matt Hardy versus TH2. So it starts off hot out the gate with TH2 attacking Hangman Page. Okay, who won the match? So Twist of Fate to Angelico, Matt Hardy for the win. Post-match, Matt wants the crowd to give it up for Hangman. Although Hangman, I don't think, really cares. So Alex Martinez backstage. Match two was for the AEW Women's Title Eliminator Tournament. So Serena Deeb versus Riho. I'm guessing Riho won this match. Yep. Luther versus Orange Cassidy. So Orange Cassidy, really? No, I don't really. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to read the results because it doesn't designate a response from anyone. But if you want, dude, Wrestle_radios, for the Instagram, wrestleradio.com/facebook.com. Also, on Twitter, @_BrianRails on Twitter. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for this craziness. We are almost to 7,000 all-time listens, so please keep on listening, downloading the episodes for free. As of the moment, it's on iTunes. You can catch Off the Rails Uncensored reprises on Podbean. So be sure, folks, you catch that. It's like not afternoon, but shortly night, you know, and whatever. Anyways, moving on, for all you wonderful, wonderful fans, Latvia, Indonesia, Australia, United States of America, Spain, Germany, Mexico, Italy, Taipei, Taiwan. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Continuing this, Kenny Omega is shown reading the Young Bucks book to Classroom of Children. Match four, AEW World Tag Team Championships. It's Santana and Ortiz versus the Young Bucks. So I'm guessing, yeah, okay, the Young Bucks are still the AEW champions. Awesome. Post-match Inner Circle attack the Bucks. Kenny, Don, and the Good Brothers are shown, okay, watching backstage doing Jack. Okay. FTR, hey! This is the moment, folks. This is the moment. FTR versus Matt and Mike Seidel. So Cody is on commentary. Tully's at home due to the bad Texas weather. All right, cool beans. Back from break, we hear Seidel chant, Seidel, Seidel. This, I got to rewatch. This is so cool. Big high knee from Matt to Dax. Matt boots Dax and Cash into the barricade on the outside. Where's Matt fights back, and then Cash delivers a German for a near fall. Mike didn't even get involved? Oh, Mike hits a top rope attack to cover Cash 1-2 foot on the ropes. Oh, so he did get involved. Awesome. That's awesome. So happy for you, dude. That is fucking amazing. Even though he did, you know, he didn't attack off the top rope. It's so cool, though. This dude's featured. That's awesome. Even though FTR won, whatever. Luchasaurus' back turn and cut his mask, so he's made TV. Awesome. Main event was Eddie Kingston and the Butcher and the Blade with Bunny versus Lance Archer, Rey Fénix, and Jon Moxley with Jake Roberts. That's not an odd pairing whatsoever, because Moxley and I'm getting ahead of myself. The Three Faces slide in the ring. So I'm not going to read that. Back from break, Butcher and Blade are working on Archer. Kingston holds on Archer's boots. Who wins this match? So Mox and Eddie duke it out. Eddie hits his back fist, but Mox weathers it to hit the paradigm. I'm going to call him. Dude, that's so. I'm just going to say, paradigm shift, 1-2-3. Moxley or Fénix and Lance Archer win the match. Lance Archer, by the way, is fucking huge. Dude is like a house on feet. He may not be Braun Strowman height, but dude is fucking tall in my eyes, because face it, I'm short, I'm 5'9". Yeah, I'm answering questions on Instagram, which is cool. Anyways, as I'm answering questions, so as you can, again, you can message me directly through wrestle_radio or wrestleradionetwork.com/facebook.com. And you can even message me on Twitter @_BrianRails on Twitter. All right, so sorry for the long intro, folks, but we got to get through this night. So we're going to go through NXT results. I know that Kyle O'Reilly was seeking answers tonight. I will be talking about wrestling factions as we proceed tonight. I'm going to read a fan question that was actually sent to you again by Chris Coulter, a wonderful person. Although he may laugh at that fucking statement, I don't know, but he truly is a wonderful person. And tonight I will cover his questions about factions later on in the other latter half of Off the Rails Uncensored tonight. You know, there's a special reason. There's a special reason. I hate these charging cords for Apple iPhones, but I will get past that. So we end that for answers, and out comes Finn Balor, out comes Roderick Strong. I guess we're following the pattern now in NXT even to get them prepped for the Mike Fest on main roster. My Mike Fest, I mean, it wasn't too bad because it didn't take too long for NXT to get the fucking point across. So then, and then and only then, we start off with the first match, which I believe was a women's tag match with Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae, participants in the Dusty Cup Classic making history, versus Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. And it was very back and forth, although it was weird to see Austin Theory in whatever, I mean, boxer shorts and plastic cuffs. I mean, there was a van that drove up and delivered him, I guess. It did distract Indy Hartwell enough where he was like, oh, she's like, oh, cool. Then Ember Moon pins both shoulders down, 1, 2, 3. And Johnny's like, oh, I'm sorry, but at least we have Austin. It's kind of a comical moment. And let's see. There are several women's tag team matches tonight. And there's solo matches for new superstars. I believe Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter defeated Aaliyah and I believe Jane. Yeah, we'll just call her Jay. They won their match, and then Via Lee said, next week, I will, like, I'm wondering who the reveal is going to be, which is pretty cool. You know, they're doing this whole gimmick thing where some ugly thing within a pretty horrific match. Oh, that's cool. You heard the ding. Is there other questions on Facebook? This is pretty awesome, guys. Thank you so much. I will answer your question as best I can. And let's see here. I want to get the full NXT results because I know that Kushida won his match. And I know that the ratings are suffering, folks. I know this. I'm not going off a Bleacher Report. They don't even show the full reports now. I did read some of what I saw. You know, it's like live blog. Okay. I understand, you know, Cage Side Seats does live reports and this is kind of... Oh, wow. I like how they reformatted on Cage Side Seats. This is awesome. Yes, I am a Shotzi fan. I don't care what people say about her. I like her gimmick, and I actually think that she makes it work. So, yes, Malcolm Bivens is in the back room, approached by Kushida. He's cleared, says he's his opponent for the night. Bivens heads off to talk to Regal. Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Ruff gets a high-flying takedown, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, Isaiah Swerve Scott beats the holy hell out of him. Versus Jesse Kamiya. I'm sorry. At least I got her initial right for her name. So Kai and Gonzalez are out to You Deserve It chant. Gonzalez smiles, and Kai says nothing makes him happier than crushing their opponents. They head to the ring. So Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. That's cool. So you got main roster showing up on NXT. They're at Stomping Grounds. So this is cool. Showdown, stare down. Kushida versus Tyler Rust. That's who got tapped out. Okay. Throwing in the towel. Okay, that's funny. Zoe Stark versus Valentina Ferez. I'm guessing Zoe Stark. Okay, Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that Adam Cole's just going to keep up with the silent treatment, or he might break his silence and say, you know why I did it? Is because I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being on a losing streak. Blah, 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 blah. It's part of enjoying fucking wrestling, folks. You don't know what's going to happen. Couldn't just pull up a microphone and be like, this is why I did it. Yes, Adam Cole got involved in this match. Yes, Undisputed Era is no more. Or so we think. There might be. I don't think so. It'd be kind of fucking stupid to be like, I hate you 1 week, and the next week I see your point. With Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. Where the hell is Bobby Fish? Is he out with... Does anybody have a report on him? You don't. Okay, well, thanks, Ben. So, yeah, tonight, folks, I will be addressing the question from Chris. And I tell you, it's just like... Yeah. It was fun. I had fun, dude, and it was great. Let's see here. I'll get to his question, you know, later on, but I'm going to discuss NXT and AEW. They had a very similar main event. It was a six-man tag. Was it the same context? Did they know there was going to be a six-man tag? Was it like, oh, well, you're going to book this. Well, I'm going to book this. I don't think that was their intent. But you know what? okay, I've got a... Okay, so Chris's question to me, like this was last night. He's, you know, we're messaging each other because he used to work with one another. Why are some NXT stars hyped up? You know, why are some NXT stars hyped up to be the next big thing once they hit Maine? But only end up either forgotten or end up as a jobber. Seems to be a common question among certain fans. And then he says to me, like Balor, he was hyped to be a next big star, but lost the Universal title due to injury. And since then, he was a jobber and never given a chance to reclaim the title or relevant title. He was just pushed back to the burner, back burner fuel. I don't think, and answer one of those things, I don't think Finn was pushed to the back burner. I believe that they tried him out on Maine. It just wasn't working type thing. And then he ended back in NXT. So putting the phrase back on the back burner, I can understand where you're coming from, man. And I appreciate the questions. However, you know, I'm just going to put out a limb. Before I answer your questions, man, don't worry. I will definitely get to that. You know, why NXT guys end up being, some of them end up being lost in the shuffle, if you will. And it's kind of annoying because NXT is the reason why WWE is afloat. And some say, well, no, that was because Edge came back. And some others say, Randy Orton this, Randy Orton. You're going to get a variety of fucking answers as to why NXT guys get lost in the shuffle. I think that's what Chris was going for. They hype them up. They promo them like Asuka, Aleister Black. And when they had a crowd and everybody got so excited, some people would get excited. And other crowds would be like, who are these people? And then it's funny because I was at World of Wheels and I heard someone say NXT ruins it for main roster. No, the fuck they don't. And we're going to dispute this because you have actual – this is the fucking hilarity of this. This is actually the beauty part of this too. You have actual fans that believe main roster is the reason why WWE is afloat. No. No. NXT has always been the unsung, underrated heroes of professional wrestling for WWE. And this is just coming from me. So others will dispute me and say, well, how do you explain Roman Reigns? How do you explain John Cena? John Cena, who makes $8.5 million according to Forbes.com. Again, I do not know the fucking exact salaries. But when someone lists it down on multiple websites outside of Forbes and says $8.5 million, it's not his money that makes money. It was the ability to draw in an audience. And I've gotten past the fact, well, Cena's the reason for this and Cena's the reason for that. Look, there are a lot of reasons for a lot of fucking things going on with WWE. Do we all agree? No. That's the beauty part of being a fucking fan, right? Or a smark. One who claims to know about everything, and really the answers may seem logical, but they're not, because they will sit there and read the fucking dirt sheets about why things are the way they are without even citing the source. That being said, I must tell you, I have 39 minutes to answer my buddy's questions the best way I fucking possibly know how. And tonight, to finish the fucking thought that I had before I got onto Curse's question, tonight's main events, they're very similar. And it had something to do with last week. So, I mean, I find it interesting that both companies, by accident, mirrored each other in the main event. And was it intentional? No. Was it the style of booking? I don't fucking know. Look, the following content contains expletive language. Off the Rails Uncensored has been a trademark podcast since March 7, 2016. So 5 years almost, folks. 5 year anniversary is coming up, and I plan and intend on having guests and not babbling psychopathically to an audience that is either listening or being like, wow, this dude's fucking psychotic. Anyways, Off the Rails Uncensored is a trademark podcast on March 7, 2016. Any likeness or reproduction of audio or title is strictly prohibited and will end in a lawsuit, $45 fine, and automatically deposited into my PayPal account. So, without further ado, buckle up, you fuckers, and enter my mind, because this is going to be one hell of a ride. I promise you, you won't come out the same. You may get offended, or you may continuously listen to this awesome shit known as Off the Rails Uncensored, brought to you by Crazy Incorporated, where straitjackets are the new in and the new trend. All right, monkeys in the truck, or monkeys sitting there laughing their asses off in their fucking pillow, you assholes. Hit my music. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. Okay, so the answer is, The question was, why is it NXT guys get lost in the shuffle when they get up to Maine? I've got several answers for that question. And some of the answers may make sense, some may not. When you're in NXT or in any kind of wrestling and you get called up to a main roster, there's two rosters on NXT, one internal and one main. Yeah, the salaries are a lot different, and yet, you know, if the guy has a quality that production likes, then guess what? Production's going to take notice of that, and by production, I mean there are several writers, there are several guys on, you know, creative staff going, okay, let's take a look at Aleister Black, for example. He was tearing shit up, and the one guy that complimented him extremely well and just like Jim Cornette said in Dark Side of the Ring, you have a pair of country singers or a pair of singers, performers, a duet, if you will. They're just magic. Anytime they perform together, even if they've never performed, everything's just in sync. It's simpatico. So not only is it performer-based, it's can this guy or gal from NXT perform up to the level of main roster. And if it's any indication, folks, that ratings have been in the toilet because NXT people have been infiltrating it and making it bad, as some of you have said, and I don't understand that. I don't understand why you would say NXT has infiltrated it and made it bad, man.
If anything, NXT has actually improved WWE television, man, because if you look at it from the perspective of a fan, most of main roster is NXT alone. Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, even though he's not working currently, Corey Graves, even though he's not working currently either. You have a lot of names that go on and on and on. Buddy Murphy was a part of NXT. Yes, these guys and gals were performing in front of sellout crowds. Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Shinsuke Nakamura, Asuka. At one point, Kairi Sane before she went home. So, to me, if we're looking at the reason why they get lost in the shuffle, one of the reasons is because they look at value. What can they bring to the table that other workers cannot bring that we already have? Truth be told, man, if here's a little insight. If not just Aleister Black outshines the talent on the main roster, like, okay, when Nikki Cross came up for one episode of SmackDown Live, I remember it was 2018, and she was going one-on-one with Becky Lynch. She was in Scotland, of course. It was a show overseas. And I guess, I don't know who suggested, hey, why don't we have Nikki Cross show up on this show? But they tried her out, and I don't know if it was something that was seen by an agent or somebody in the back said she's not ready yet. But if you've noticed, Nikki Cross, and every time she's in solo action, she loses. I don't know if it has anything to do with performance or she's not ready yet or people are just not acclimated to her. But I just want to say, if you notice, Bianca Belair, it took maybe a year and a half, maybe longer to get to main roster. But she did win the Women's Royal Rumble. I mean, she fucking eliminated 7 people in the 2020 Royal Rumble. She got to call it to main. It was kind of a joke. Why are you putting her with this person? And you made her a baby face, and you make her heel, and you made her baby face again. I don't care about the fucking booking. I care about the quality. So to answer that question, it may have something to do with if you outshine one of the guys or gals on the roster, guess what? Here's a secret for you. You end up on the back burner, not necessarily, but you, I guess, have to prove your worth. See, that's even a question mark for me, man, is you get up from a roster that showcases your talent, and you were great in NXT, but now you got to prove yourself. Even though your name is known by some fans, the fans on main are like, oh, yeah, they were in NXT. I never watched that shit. And that's okay. You don't have to force or subject someone to sit there and actually watch a brand they've never watched before, Granny. I love you to death, hon, but you need to watch NXT because a lot of your friends are on that show, by the way. Ember Moon. I love Granny, folks, but, you know, it is what it is when it comes to fans who don't watch NXT. And do I condemn them? No. I actually say, hey, I suggest, like, eventually, you know, you need to watch NXT on the main roster. You know, you need to watch where these people came from. Unfortunately, Ember Moon didn't work either. And what my friend is referring to is, like, why do they, you know, get called up to main and they don't ever get seen ever again or heard from again? That's not necessarily true with some guys like Ricochet or Keith Lee, you know, is like the size that Vince loves. It's not just Vince that makes these decisions. Although he is the main proponent of, I like what you're doing, but you can do better type thing. So if we're basing this off of what's going on, and then hang on, folks. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Off the Rails Uncensored. Just one quick second.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look.
Thanks for using that pause, Ben. That was great. No, I mean, thank you for using that pause. I wasn't expecting Sean, but okay. Anyways, one of the main reasons why superstars go from NXT and they, okay, I hate using the phrase lost in the shuffle, although that did happen to Aleister Black, and it kind of happened to Buddy Murphy until he aligned with Seth Rollins. Does it matter if you're on in a certain kind of hierarchy? Is there a hierarchy in wrestling? Is there a behavior that you must, is there a behavioral pattern that you must follow in order to get yourself noticed? Dude, if I had my way in fucking booking superstars from NXT, I would not book them how they were in NXT per se, but I would definitely love to ask them, okay, have you worked with this person? Have you trained with this individual? Cool, you guys have a match together. It doesn't exactly work like that. Although it'd be nice, you know, to work these people against people they've never faced, and that's the problem. Sometimes when workers face off with one another, it's not that they do not have a mutual respect for one another in the sport of professional wrestling. But when you go from NXT to main roster, as I said before and I mentioned before, there's a standard on main roster that has to be met. There's a criteria that you have to go by. You know, saying you can be unique as you fucking want to be, but if you don't fall in the line and listen to orders and take orders and actually do what you're told, that you could have the choice of unemployment. And also, man, actually, I should say also, Chris, the way that this system goes, they won't tell you on air, and they won't even air this through Chronicles. Because why? What is the point of getting from NXT to Maine? Because it's the fucking paycheck, to be honest with you. If it wasn't, and then they're like, well, I like entertainment. You know, some guys will say, I like entertaining fans, and that's the honest to God truth. Other guys will say, it's a mix of both money and fans. What it boils down to, I guess I'm trying to say this in a nice way, if you end up going from one professional level to the next level, that means you've made it. But not quite. I mean, it's more than just Aleister Black and Andrade and Zelina, who is no longer with WWE, unfortunately. I mean, I really thought when Andrade and Aleister and all, okay, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, there's different wavelengths of NXT that got called up. And you can't forget your roots. You just can't. I mean, Sasha, Bayley, Roman, Seth, they're like, do we owe it to NXT? Probably, because without NXT, those people that I just listed, Becky Lynch especially, Charlotte Flair, Nikki Cross, the list goes on, folks. Bianca Belair. I just listed Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro. Let's see here, Cedric Alexander. These guys and gals work their ass off, okay? Asuka. Unfortunately, Nia Jax. And I say unfortunately, my hole! You know, my hole! It's never going to get old. Ever. Shayna Baszler. Who at first, you know, is adamant about because, well, you know, she had a lot of growing to do in NXT, and maybe she'll have a lot of, I don't think she'll have a lot of growing to do right now on main roster. However, I do believe she's one of those that could outshine the women without even trying. She ran through the entire roster of NXT, and now you look at her in comparison to what she did in NXT to main roster, it pisses a lot of fans off that know who she truly is. Right now, she's the comical tag team partner of Nia Jax. It annoys me that sometimes these women that, you know, work their ass off, they're like, well, we're just waiting our turn. Maybe it'll be time. It's just going to take time. I hate to say this, but Nikki Cross, there are several instances where she could have been the NXT Women's Champion. I guess in retrospect, they're like, well, she's not well known. Her merchandise isn't even, you didn't even give her merchandise until Alexa Bliss. And it's funny because if you look at Nikki Cross and Shayna Baszler, when they got called up from NXT to Maine, it's the same fucking pattern. The women that could outshine Sasha or actually give them a run for their money are put on the back burner. And I don't know if you would say that about Asuka, although she wins one championship, but she didn't win the other in that match between Sasha and Bayley for the women's tag team champions, not women's tag team champions, but the Raw Women's Championship and the SmackDown Live. One retained, the other kept. There's a fairly good point. You know, it's like when they get called up to Maine, they get crapped all over. I don't necessarily call it crapped all over. I think they just, it's a trial and error thing. Like, okay, this person fits with this person. Their chemistry is great. Their match, the post-match notes, you know, you could have worked on this. You could, are very minimal, which is what main roster kind of looks for. And, yes, I agree. I'm just answering questions, folks. Sorry for the pause. Yeah, I agree. So, yes, this person brought up a good point. Asuka went undefeated through NXT. And the night of WrestleMania 34 comes around when in New Orleans, which I miss heavily going to, and they're like, why don't you just go to Tampa? Guys, I wish I could, but I'm not financially able to at the moment. And I don't understand some things why they happen the way they do. Asuka was undefeated. I'm going to repeat this. She was undefeated, and then she gets up and she goes to main roster, and Charlotte, who she could easily beat like a drum, she loses to Charlotte. And that part did piss me off as a fan. And I also didn't understand it from a worker's perspective either. You have someone who could literally tear through the entire women's roster at that point in time when they had more than just one steady, you know, fucking diet dose of fucking Charlotte versus Sasha or Charlotte versus this person. I don't care. I mean, I respect Charlotte. But when somebody bitches in the back about your fucking move being the second armbar and she can't do that because that's disrespect to the sport of wrestling, blah, 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 I'm not understanding. I also don't understand how she's jobbing to people like Carmella. Carmella, let's see. There's a lot of question marks about her. She works well with a valet or manager. So without, you can still enhance her character, but it would suck. She's an NXT alum that I don't mention because, one, she was originally a hype girl. Is there a problem with that? No. Two, she beats Asuka thanks to Ellsworth. Okay, that kind of makes sense. I saw that in Money in the Bank in Chicago. I don't care who goes over, who doesn't. Actually, that's a lie. There's some instances where it's like, wait, you literally just had this finish like this, and they're like, but you keep coming back for more. Not anymore. That's kind of why I stick to watching NXT, folks. I'm well aware of what goes on with Maine due to highlights on my app, you know, the WWE Network app. Anyways, to answer my buddy's question, or, you know, there have been several call-ups in the last 6 years, and some people have not lasted, like Lars Sullivan, because of the racist, you know, homophobic slurs that were used on a bodybuilding webpage, he was released. Okay. And if Vince knew, you know, what really went on, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's well aware. that he did gay porn. I don't give a fuck what you do, folks. I really honestly don't. As long as you're a decent human, and this guy was not a decent human. Then you have guys like Ricochet. And it's a wonder, you know, like, okay, how did this guy get to, you know, sometimes the main event? Because you do flippy shit? No. Is it because he was cordial in the back? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But there's weird similarities, you know, in the call-ups that were first up to main. I mean, it used to take them, you had Enzo and Cass, but without Carmella. You had Sanity, but without Nikki. Some may say, well, I just didn't see the fit. Like, really? The agents couldn't see where Nikki Cross would have fit in with Eric Young and Alexander Wolfe and Killian Dane. Sanity would have fucking ran a really good feud, maybe, with the Wyatt family. You never know. But I am not for certain as to fucking why this shit always plagues my mind, including not just Andrade and Aleister, or Buddy Murphy paired up with Seth, or Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch feuding. That was not a bad feud, by the way. That was actually an excellent feud. But all these people that get called up, some of them, they're like, well, Becky had to work her way into the main event. It didn't just happen right away. You're right about that. When she got called up in 2015 or 16, she kind of almost got lost into the shuffle. I guess when she was brought in the room, you better improve your character. Your character needs work. With some people, it works, and sometimes it gets over. And other people will debate me in saying Becky Lynch is way, way over. You know, or she's too over. I don't know if that's fucking possible, but okay. When you call up these people that I just listed off, and then you don't do, okay, Apollo Crews, he's one of those that they just see as, okay, can he commingle with our mid-carders? Not been used in the main event and gets hurt. So is he injury prone? I don't know. I honestly don't. But I'm starting to figure out why. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm starting to figure out why I don't like it when, you know, NXT calls up people that are doing so well within the story. They tried Tommaso Ciampa. They tried Johnny Gargano. Their size is what was the difference maker in this whole thing. Although AJ Styles is about 5'7", 5'8". Finn Balor is 5'7", 5'8". The Good Brothers were never a part of NXT, my friend. You can even look it up, man. They were part of Ring of Honor. They've been a part of Japan, and they dominated IWGP. It's annoying as fuck how certain people get treated completely different as soon as they leave the main, or as soon as they leave NXT. Like Matt Riddle. They put him in a six-man tag, you know, with the Lucha House Party. Does that bother me? No. He keeps getting the bro chance that he did from NXT because he's such a chill, laid-back dude. Is he ever going to main event? I don't know. Do I see him winning the United States Championship? Sure. Do I see Matt going as a tag team champion? Most definitely. I see Matt Riddle going as any champion that he wants to be. It'd be really not ironic, but it'd be cool if they paired Monster Factory grads together, Matt Riddle and Damian Priest. You know, they're two different styles. They come from the one of the best wrestling schools in the country and the world. World famous Monster Factory, but I digress. Okay. When a superstar gets called up from NXT, it feels like, and this is why my friend said this, it feels like they get lost in the shuffle. And then his second question, my bad man, you want to know why factions dissipate and disappear? Because it goes, the gimmick of a faction can sometimes go stale. So now that they're separating Adam Cole from the pack, they're testing out how he would be outside okay? And without Kyle O'Reilly, without Bobby Fish, with Roderick Strong. I don't know if Roderick Strong is going to stay together. See, Undisputed being split up may be a very bad idea for certain people. But then they've proven, they're like, okay, so we're going to work Kyle into this gimmick where he tried to save Finn Balor. And by accident, Finn kicked Roderick Strong. So they're kind of putting the puzzle pieces together as to, like, making us guess what's going on. Why factions break up is more than just, oh, it was stale. It's because the promoter or the writers are like, okay, well, let's try them, you know, without their members. Let's try them in this light. Let's see if the gimmick works without Adam Cole. It's not just Adam Cole, dude. The NWO, Raven's Flock. I can even, okay, the NWO Wolfpack, which is the equivalent thereof of your little sister or little brother thinking, oh, this is cool. I can be a part of this group, and they actually let them into the group. Factions are a dime a dozen, man. You had back then in the AWA and NWA and WCCW, you had Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen with J.J. Dillon, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, the original Four Horsemen. Then the Four Horsemen gets revamped. And Mongo McMichaels, dear God, that guy sucks. He was in there. Then Jeff Jarrett was in it. And so on and so forth. Not only that group, but then you have groups like Sanity. And Enzo Cass Carmella was considered a group. The Vaudevillains with Blue Pants. I can name off more. The Bullet Club. And that all depends on who we're talking about when we're referring to Bullet Club. So why do factions dissipate so quickly in NXT? Okay, now you have The Way, and then you have whatever group Pat McAfee is a part of. The reason why they dissipate, dude, is because, one, the crowd gets burned out by some of it. Okay, sometimes when watching Undisputed Era, that group, it's been together for almost 4 years, and they literally dominated airwaves with the Adam Cole show. So they're doing it again, because whomever catches the boss's attention, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and not just those guys, but it's the surrounding staff through NXT that have worked in factions before. You had D-Generation X, the NWO, Black and White. You had the LWO. And there's fucking several factions. You know why they dissipate? Because, one, either there's something missing from them. There's something missing from it. There's not that special factor anymore going with it. There's just several things, dude. The answer to that question is a loaded question, by the way. If the leader is, you know, getting complacent or bored, or the fact that the group just isn't clicking and they want, you know, a solo career for each of them. Because, look, Adam Cole's had the spotlight for how long and why? Because he's a fucking draw, and every time he gets to the ring, I guarantee you, when the crowds come back, Adam Cole, baby! And pointing to the chest and saying, boom! He stood out to me more as a solo than as a part of a group. Yes, like, okay, Hogan and NWO. It was better off with just 3 versus 6 to 10 to got all the way up to 14, and then Sting looked like a badass because he was beating the fuck out of them with his bat. Oh, yeah, the Wyatt family. That was a great, great faction, and God rest Brody Lee's soul. The Wyatt family was such a good faction. You know why? Because they actually drew the ire of the, not the ire of the crowd, but they got attention regardless. Unfortunately, when people complain, they're like, John Cena never complained. And Hogan, you know, the Million Dollar Corporation was a thing back in the day before it hit the 90s. I just didn't know, man. Ted DiBiase and all them. It all has to do with the timing. Is this faction going to be worth writing for? Are they the ones we are looking to fill the void that we're missing? So, if you're not a ratings draw anymore and people aren't tuning in, why not shake things up? I get it. Undisputed is kind of the forerunner of factions, if you will, currently speaking. I don't know what Adam Cole's going to say. I don't know what Kyle O'Reilly's going to say again. But from what I understand, the reason why factions break up is because the promoters either, one, looking to change scenery, they're looking to give a different flavor. Also, when groups come up from, this is a good point, because he also asked the questions about groups, and let's see here, it says, yeah, about Finn Balor, let me address that. They overdid the gimmick between the demon and the man, Finn Balor. They could have capitalized on a great feud between Bray and fucking Finn, but they fucking didn't, and it's just like, I'm not understanding how certain groups bring out either the worst in people or individuals. Like when they tried Daniel Bryan, it would have worked, but the problem is the fans were just not having it, man. They just did not want to see it. That was kind of what ultimately did the Wyatt family in. But if I think on it any further, John Cena, is he to blame for certain things? Yeah. The NWO, the reason why their group kind of went to shit was because, as I said, there's, as Cody said in the documentary, it was like so many cooks in the fucking kitchen, there's nobody to stir the pot correctly, you know. No, you know, here's the other thing. So, the title of my show, let me think on this one. It's called Mirror Image AEW and WWE. Faction me this, faction me that. Well, tonight, I'm going to speak of groups. We have a parallel for main events. Did they mean to do it? Depends. You know, what if they have a main event? Man, we got to make it different. They did, but there's a fucking problem. It was the same fucking style of match. Did they intentionally do it to each other? No. They're trying to get fucking ratings is what this the whole gist of this is. So you gotta watch wrestling, dude, with an open mind, because I'll answer that question when I get done with this question. So Chris, the answer to your question about why when they get up to main roster they get lost in the shuffle, it's not that they're bad people. These people work their asses off, whether it be, you know, lifting weights or trying to get bigger, trying to come up with a different gimmick, get some new life breathed into their character. It's hard. When you get up to main roster, yes, some of them do get lost on the shuffle unless you have size or something that Vince and Michael P.S. Hayes and the other agents are looking for. I don't know if Pritchard still works for him, but I'm pretty sure he does. That's the answer to that one question about Pritchard working there. And it's definitely been an eye-opener, if you will. There's been, like, okay, the Hurt Business and all of them. They answered the one question about factions. The reason why it's failing on a massive level is because not a lot of people tune into wrestling as much as they used to, man. That's the sad part. All right, let's get back to it. Wrap this stuff up. Okay. When a guy or gal from NXT goes up to main, I'll give you perfect examples. When Alexa Bliss got called up, she didn't get special treatment, but she did get noticed. I mean, and she stood out because her whole entire brand is completely different. And she started out with gimmicks and coming in the ring with a Harley Quinn feather or whatever she did, and she moved her hands to the side just like Harley Quinn. That was good. But Alexa Bliss doesn't represent everyone from NXT. That's the thing. When Drew McIntyre got called up from NXT, because he had gone back, instead of to main roster, he went back down to learn. He became a WWE champion. And look at his size, though. Look at his size. Size is everything, I guess. I mean, that's the only answer I can say. Size, look, charisma, promo, like mic skills. Maybe some of these guys and gals are lagging in mic skills. Hell if I know. But what I do know is when they get called up to Maine, there are some fallacies that occur at a pay-per-view. And I have a feeling Elimination Chamber is going to be a half and half again. So, that being said, folks, last minute, if you like to invest in yourself, like if you like to be a professional wrestler, invest in yourself today. Sign up through www.monsterfactory.org. Check out the rates and payment plans, specifically itemized for your convenience. So look at what payment plans you can afford to becoming your next champion and then some, I guess. So if you have any questions, do not email the office. There's a phone number located directly on the website. Also, Monster Factory is located in Paulsboro, New Jersey. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about the payment plan, please message Danny. Yeah, you can. Danny Cage is the owner, trainer, and head coach. And if you don't believe me, folks, that this school is legit, Damian Priest, Matt Riddle, Sheamus, anybody. Let's see what else. It's been a docuseries on Fight Network. It tells you the story of a few of the students that have been through the system of Monster Factory. And just so you know, world famous. All right. If you didn't like what good old Brian Rails had to say, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. And we're going to have a special five-year anniversary, folks, on March 7th. 2021, or whatever that may be, but you know what? Have fun, and that's all that matters. Cheers, bitches. I got to go to work tomorrow. See ya. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something.